Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we are privileged this week. We have Dave and Bonnie Horn and their family are going to join Calvary Baptist Church. And we have Jenna Wolfolk. She's also came to present herself for membership. And all of these folks are saved and baptized and know the Lord. And so... I'd like to present them for membership. Do we have a second to receive them into our membership? We have a second. Those in favor, so signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I want to welcome you folks. We're so glad you're part of the church. And if you could, after the service, if you can meet out in the lobby and just kind of let people give you a greeting as they leave today, that would be a blessing. Church family, remember to please make sure and stop by. And always welcome our new members. That's a blessing. We thank God for them. Take your Bibles now in John 15, verse number 12. We'll read down through verse 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our friends that have come today that's honored us in this service. But Lord, today we also thank you that we've know the best friend that you can possibly know. And Lord, it is a distinct privilege to know you. And Lord, we don't claim that any of us are good enough to earn your friendship. We know the friendship that you give to us is by choice, and how we thank you that we can make that choice. And so, Father, today we pray that you would just guide us now in the moments that we have together in this service. We pray if there's someone who has never met Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this will be the day. We pray that you would guide us now in the moments that we have in this service. We ask you to anoint your presence in this place. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Something worth dying for.
so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect. But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it.
Everyone wants a friend. I remember growing up, all of my buddies used to say, all I'm looking for is just a friend. They want a friend. Everybody wants one. Everyone needs a friend. A lot of people have acquaintances, but very few have friends. You know, in this world that we live in, we run across people who are true friends. Here, Jesus was teaching his disciples about what it meant to be a true friend. You see, to be a true friend involved a lot of things that for the world they do not understand. The world really doesn't understand what a true friend is. And when we think of the Lord Jesus as being our friend, sometimes people get the idea, well, I really don't want him to be my friend because he's going to ruin my fun in life, or he's going to spoil some things that I really want to do in this world. But Jesus is the true friend. He can be our best friend. The writer in Proverbs says it like this, that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad that Jesus is a true friend. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus gives us three actions to prove his friendship. Now, you may have come here today, and you may have some Bible background, or perhaps maybe some religious upbringing, or perhaps you might have come here with sort of a denominational label that would be attached to your name, and we're not concerned about labels or denominations. I want to draw our attention to what Jesus says about being a friend. Because a friend that sticketh closer than a brother is a true friend, and he shows us in here what he means by being a friend. What is it to be a friend? What is it about Jesus? How can he qualify to be the true friend? Well, there are three actions I notice in this passage that Jesus being a friend, in fact, I'm going to tell you this, he's a friend of the world. Now, as the fire chief was praying a little earlier, he was praying that not our will, but his will be done in our lives. And I'm going to tell you that he's right on the money. Because certainly in America, we need to realize that Jesus is not someone that we kind of lock up down at the church house and never bring him in society. We need to invite him back into society. We need to invite him back into our classrooms and back into our public arena. We need to put Jesus where he can really do his great work because he is our friend. And I believe that with all of my heart. But let me call your attention, if you would please, to notice what is it about Jesus that makes him such a great friend. Well, first of all, verse number 12, the Bible says he has limitless love. By his limitless love. Something I learned about friendship is that friendship, when it's the right kind of friendship, is centered around love. And have you ever thought about it this way? And I want us to look at it because there's a duration about this kind of love that Jesus has. Have you ever thought about this? There's never been a time from the time you're born to where you are right now that Jesus didn't love you. He was in the beginning. Before there was creation, there was Jesus. Jesus was the creator. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Jesus was in the beginning. So this concept of love came from God. And since the concept of love comes from him, that means that as that verse says here on the screen, and you have it in your notes there, we love him because he first loved us. You ever thought about that? That God loved you even before you could even understand what love is. It's a funny thing. When I was a kid growing up, we used to have all these boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, first, second, and third grade. Sometimes even fourth grade. Can you remember when you had your first boyfriend or girlfriend? I remember it. I was in the second grade, and this Pam Burns was just absolutely the knockout girl in the second grade. And, you know, we would write notes back and forth. We weren't allowed to date. I just didn't have a car yet. And I know that we used to have these, you know, we really had a desire to want to, you know, be together. Second grade. So I would try to sit next to her, and she tried to sit next to me, and the teacher would say, "Up, boys over here, girls over there." And I remember writing her notes, "I like you, do you like me?" And then I'd leave a little blank for her to fill in yes or no. I always wanted her to say yes. But you know, I really never understood what love was. It wasn't until I met Christ did I understand what real love is. Because that was the kind of love I had. You like me, I like you. You don't like me, I don't like you. That's the world kind of love. But the love that Jesus had is that Jesus loved me even when I didn't understand what love is. He loved me even when I didn't love him. You see, the duration of his love is not always limited. It's not like where we say, okay, well, you know, God loves me as long as I love him. Oh, no, we don't understand it. He's going to love you even if you choose not to love him sometime. He'll still always love you. Thank God he's like that. Amen. Thank God he loves me that much. And the depth of his love is certainly seen by how much he has done for me. You see, he characterizes love. See, sometimes people have in their world that in order for me to love God, that means that I'm going to have to give up a bunch of stuff and I can't do these things and all of that. And that you know, God is some big bully in heaven, and all he's doing is waiting for me to get out of line that he might hit me in the head with his heavenly ball bat and straighten me out or maybe crack the whip and get my life in order and all of that. That's nothing like the God of the Bible. The Bible said that God loves me. He characterizes all the love is. In fact, the Bible said it like this: "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. The word "so" refers to the magnificent love of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a marvelous thing to know that. And when you come in contact with someone who loves you that much, and you look at what it means, it goes way beyond me loving someone because they love me back. It is that he loves me even when I never loved him. So Jesus says, you know what a true friend is? A true friend is one who has limitless love. That means that he doesn't love you only because you respond back to him, or only because you do these things for him, or only because you do that, this or that. But a true friend, and by the way, I happen to believe that your spouses ought to be a true friend to you. In fact, he describes it, Paul writes it like this when he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. By the way, this kind of love we're talking about is not that which you kind of turn on and turn off. This is that which you grow into. It's experiential love, because you cannot describe it. You can't describe the love of God. I like the songwriter when he said it best: "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Because truly, no one has ever cared for me like Jesus. The songwriter said these words, and I won't sing it to you. I'll spare you the punishment. But the songwriter says it like this: "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this, no one will ever care for you like him. And what God wants us to realize is that Jesus has limitless love. And thank God his love is just like that. And so if you look at the action, what's the first action? He loved me first. But there's another action I find in this passage. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. The Bible said, greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The second action I find is his sacrificial death. He sacrificed himself for us. Now, boy, that's a challenge. That means that Jesus Christ came to earth 2,000 years ago and proved his friendship to us by dying on the cross for my sins and your sins. That means that Jesus Christ gave everything, gave up his entire life for you, that you might have life in him. That's what it means. It's an amazing thing to think about that. And one man said this, friendship thrives on sacrifice. But this is the ultimate sacrifice. I like what Tullian says. Tullian says this. He says, the cross is the ultimate statement of God's involvement in the world on this side of heaven. Man, that's powerful. But I want you to think for a moment and turn in your Bibles, if you would, if you don't mind, to 2 Corinthians. And if you can't find it, don't worry about it. We'll get there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. I want you to see this because this explains this love that we're talking about. The sacrificial death explains it all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, I'll say it one more time. For he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow, that's powerful. I mean, those words could not be said any clearer in Scripture than that. Here's how it works. I have a phone board up here. And on this board, we want to see how this thing works. So, this explains where we all are spiritually. The Bible said that every one of us, we are born sinners. We have this problem of sin. I mean, quite frankly, it's just where we are. So we all have this sin problem that we deal with. And so we could go here and we could put anyone's name at the top because that's where they are. So we're going to put my name. Oop, wrong side. How many agree with me that I'm a sinner? Too many. All right, so I have a sin problem, right? Sometimes I have it worse than others, but I have a problem. I'm born with the fact that I'm a sinner. That's what the Bible says. But I'm not the only one in here. Anyone else a sinner? Oh, Bonnie raised her hand. She says she is. All right, so we'll put her name down. So we're going to put her down. She's a sinner. Anybody else in here? Oh, okay. Tim's a sinner. It's easy because I'm running out of space, so I got Tim. Well, how many of you agree with me that everybody in here fits this top category? Would you agree with that? Because we're all sinners, according to the Bible. That's what we have. So that's our condition. And the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. But what about Jesus? Let's look at him. Let's look at his condition. Okay, we have Jesus here. And can anyone tell me what would be, I don't know if you can see this or not, but what would be Jesus' condition according to that verse? Sinless. Or we could put the word righteous. Or sinless. Can I even put this down if you don't mind? Perfect. So we have to say that Jesus is righteous, sinless, perfect. And the Bible said this, for he hath made him, that's Jesus who was righteous, sinless, perfect, made him to be sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it works like this. So Jesus became a sinner for us by dying on the cross. And we became righteous through Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Now, it did not say anything about a church or a religious ritual or anything else for that matter. What it simply says is this, that Jesus became sin, which is us, what we are. He became sin. But when he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, bleeding and dying, suspended between heaven and earth, he was taking all of my sin and all the sin of everyone on his back. He was bearing that sin for me. So that one day, as I receive what he did for me, I could be righteous, sinless, and perfect. So what God did was God took all of my sin, transferred it on Jesus, and God took all of Jesus' righteousness and perfection and transferred that on us the moment we accepted Jesus Christ and he became my friend. That's pretty astounding to think about. You see, greater loveth no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus was the perfect sin sacrifice for you and for me. In other words, what it means is this, the product of our friendship is this, that Jesus says, I can be his friend. And by the way, let me tell you this, he wants you to be his friend. He's done everything he possibly could to be your friend. Now, when my wife and I, we met in an unusual situation. I remember I was up in, I lived in a dormitory, and my wife was not at the time my wife, as a girl down in front of my dorm was putting oil in her car. Now, when I walked down and I saw this girl putting oil in her car, there was an instant attraction on her part. And my part too, yeah. But as I was putting oil in her car, And I said, don't you have someone to do this for you? And I'm putting the oil in her car, you know, I'm talking to her. And she says, no, I really don't. And I'm thinking, dummies. And I put the oil in her car. And here's what I thought in my mind. I'm going to get her number in case she needs it again. And so I did, and guess what? I've been doing it ever since. And I can't even get her to put gas in my car. I've been trying, but the point of the matter is, I made sure I get her number because I want to make sure that I could follow up with her. I wanted to be her friend. And guess what? Jesus says, here's my number, John 3:16. I want to be your friend. What else can I do? Jesus says. What else is there that I can do? I'm looking for some friends. I mean, I died for you. You can be my friend, Jesus says. Are you willing to come and choose me as your friend? So Jesus then not only tells us he has limitless love, and man, who in the world could not want to be a friend with someone like that? But Jesus not only tells us that through his action of sacrificial death, that he loves me so much that he was willing to die for me. And he said by doing that the product of his friendship is that I could be his friend. But there's one more thing I find in this passage. His intimate relationship, verses 14 and 15. Can I get you to go back? I want you to see this. I don't know if you picked up on this, and I had to study this out and really understand what would happen, but look, if you would, at verse 14 and 15. He says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now, we typically think when we hear the word servant, we think of it in a negative way. And in those days, they didn't consider it that way, especially even in the Old Testament. The Bible even speaks of Abraham being a servant of God and Moses being a servant of God. And so in that sense, it wasn't considered that which would be in a negative connotation. But servants, their responsibilities in the ancient world was to do what the master had told them to do. That was it. They were not to question. They were not to try to understand. They were just to do what they were told to do. And we understand that. We see that clearly, that that's what God sometimes just tells us to be his servants and do what he wants us to do. And we understand that. And so the response in verse number 14 is that which is wrapped around that of being a servant. And notice what he says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Or if you love and you're my friend, you'll do whatever I command you to do. And I think in a real sense that all of us understand that if we love someone, we have no problem doing for them when we love them. You know, I was kind of teasing a little bit about putting the oil in the car. I don't mind doing that because I love my wife. Amen. Now, I'm not going to put yours in. But I love my wife. You understand what I'm saying? And so we get the idea here then is that if we love someone, we're willing to do and try to help them and be obedient to them. And so our love as a believer then, there's a response in this relationship, but there's something more about this. It goes a little deeper than that. And verse 15 kind of culminates everything. Because verse 15 says it very, very well. Here's what it says. There's a specialty about the relationship when you know Jesus as your friend. Here's what he says. You're going to know what I want to do and what I'm going to do. Now, I said, Lord, I don't really quite get this, and I prayed over this thing for about a day or two to get it. And so if you don't get it in just this short explanation, don't feel bad. It took me 2 days to get it. You got to remember, I'm from West Virginia. We're a little slow, okay? But listen to me. Here's what he says. When you have a relationship with me as a friend, we have that intimacy. I'm going, and we're close to one another. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with your life and what I'm going to do around you. You say, how do you see that? Well, In the ancient world, they had kings. Now, kings had servants. Servants would be those that the king would call them in and say, bring me steak. Bring me this. Bring me that. But when you had friends, what friends did is friends would be those that would come into the inner circle around the king. Here's what the friend would do. As the friend came in, the friend would say, all right. Instead of him calling him king, he would say, okay, Nero, what's up today? Well, I'm not feeling good today. Why? What's wrong? Oh, that steak they brought me last night just made my stomach upset. I don't feel real good right now. Well, let's bring in so-and-so. Maybe they can play the harp for you, make you feel better. There's an intimacy. There's something very close. And here's what God says. That's the kind of friend I want you to be to me. I don't want, when I talk about calling you friends, friends that I have a close, intimate relationship with, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Now, here's what I'm saying to you today. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? Is he someone you just hear about? Is he someone you just kind of wonder about? Is he someone said, well, you know, someone had told me about him years ago, and yeah, I've heard about him, and or is he someone that maybe you might find, you know, I don't know if I really want Jesus because I'm just so afraid that if I have Jesus in my life that I'm going to have to quit what I'm doing and I'm going to have to stop all these things and I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Or is Jesus one that you would say, you know, I really want to know him. I mean, if he has limitless love, if he's willing to love me even before I could even understand love and will love me long even after I die, that he loves me that much, if that's what you mean, man, I need a friend like that. And not only that, but he's willing to die for me and give his life so that I could be his friend. And on top of that, he wants intimate relationship that he can let me know what's going on around me and I could be close to him and I can fulfill everything that he wants in life. I mean, after all, why not have Jesus as my friend? This passage is in context of the vine, the branches. In verse number 1 of the same chapter, here's what he says. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's the idea of the branch. In other words, the branch is connected to the vine, and those are all intertwined together. And as the branch gives out nutrition to the vine so that it can grow, Jesus said, I can give your life and I'll give it abundantly and I'll never die because he's God. And he says, I'll never stop being your friend. And sometimes I think people feel like that because we're so used to human friends that if we do something to a human friend, they're going to come and get us. We think of Jesus as being that. When Jesus said, oh no, I don't deal with you after justice. I deal with you after grace. I forgive you if you're willing to come. Honestly, each of us is as close to God as we choose to be. That's what Oswald Sanders said. We're as close to God as we choose to be. We're as close to Jesus as we choose to be. We are his friends, and we ought to be near the throne, listening to word that he has to say to us, enjoying his intimacy and obeying his commandments. Let me ask you this. Do you know him? Is he your friend? And if he is, how close are you to him? Let's pray.